We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready for some football Buffalo Bills style?
Shady's going to score! Shady's going to score! Touchdown! 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 Brought down by Kyle Williams back at the 15-yard line.
Bring it. This is the pregame show. Buffalo Bills football on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network is brought to you by
Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
The weather is great for this, the Buffalo Bills preseason opener in Orchard Park at New Era Field. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with you as we continue. And for some of you, welcome to our continuing pregame coverage, the Buffalo Bills and the Carolina Panthers here. Game one of the 2018 preseason, year two for Sean McDermott, and the first Bills season after their first playoff appearance in 18 years. 7 o'clock kickoff, Bills and Panthers. John Murphy and Mark Kelso have the play-by-play from this, the Northwest broadcast booth. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. Today's preseason game is presented by Medei College, whose students are M-powered. We'll get back into conversation about the Bills, the season, and tonight's game here with Carolina very shortly. First, though, let's get a sports update from Derek Kramer.
Football is back tonight for the Buffalo Bills when they host the Carolina Panthers tonight at New Era Field. All eyes will be on the three quarterbacks. No decision has been announced to the media as to who will play when under center. However, A.J. McCarron is the favorite to see the first team reps tonight, followed by Nathan Peterman, and then Josh Allen, the rookie, is suspected to get a large amount of snaps tonight. Don't expect to see too much of Cam Newton under center. Panthers coach Ron Rivera is saying that he is looking to get about 9 or 10 plays from Newton before he sits him down. Injury front for the Bills, defensive end Trent Murphy, wide receiver Zay Jones, among those not expected to play tonight as they are dealing with injuries. John Murphy, Mark Kelso, and Sal Capaccio, they will be on the call for the 7 o'clock kickoff right here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Around the NFL, ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting that the Patriots have added $5 million in incentives to Tom Brady's contract. Brady is owed a base salary of $14 million this year. Vikings starting guard Nick Easton suffered a neck injury his season, likely over for Minnesota. Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. is being kept out of the Giants preseason opener against Cleveland. Speaking of the Browns, receiver Antonio Callaway will be in the lineup for Cleveland despite a weekend citation for possession of marijuana. 11 other games on the docket in the NFL, including that Browns-Giants game. The Bengals take on the Bears while the Steelers face the Eagles. New Orleans taking on Jacksonville. Miami hosting Tampa Bay. Washington visits New England. The Rams facing off with the Ravens. The Titans against the Packers. Houston faces Kansas City. The Giants take on the Cowboys while the Colts are out west against Seattle. To golf, the PGA Championship first round underway. Ricky Fowler finishing 5-under in the first round. That's tops amongst the leaderboard. Tiger Woods even after the first round. Defending champ Justin Thomas shot a 1-under par 69. Time to check the border crossings brought to you by Fiegel & Carr, your border attorneys. There is about a 25-minute delay into the states from the Peace Bridge, while the Rainbow and Lewiston-Queenston bridges have no major delays. This sports update is brought to you by Fiegel & Carr. Starting October 17th, if you have a DWI, you'll be barred from Canada. Contact Fiegel & Carr, your border attorneys. I'm Derek Kramer for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. For a look at traffic, here is Alan Harris.
Heavy traffic on most of the expressways around town right now. If you're heading down towards the stadium, you got heavy volume on the main line of the thruway all the way down to the 219. 219 from there going down to Miles Strip is a bit busy, and then you get off on Miles Strip. You're finding a lot of volume at this point heading towards the stadium. Abbott Road, of course, closed in front of the New Era Field. Right now, Route 5 from the Skyway all the way down at least past Ridge is getting quite busy at this hour. Coming up the thruway, you got a lot of traffic at the Hamburg exit at the moment. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO or visit geico.com today. I'm Alan Harris on the Buffalo Bills Football Network.
And be sure to stay tuned following tonight's game for the Coach's Show with head coach Sean McDermott, live during the Bills postgame show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Sales, service, and selection to the nth degree. That's Northtown. Okay, let's chill here for a little bit, hang out. Let's get Sal involved. Bills and Panthers, many players, maybe not all on the field, warming up with kickoff a couple of hours away. Sal, why wait? Cam Newton, Kelvin Benjamin. I'm looking. I don't see either of them. Am I too far from the field?
Yeah, you're not. I'm right on the field. I do not see either of them as of right now. But, I mean, honestly, guys, 90 guys on a roster, I see maybe 10 from each team out here, maybe 15. That's it. So there's not very many guys out here. LeSean McCoy's out here. He's going through a pretty substantial pregame routine and stretch. So my thought is, given that, we might not see him tonight, but, you know, I never know because he's doing a little bit more than he normally would on a game day from what I've noticed.
You know, Sal, we just, at the end of the last segment, we're talking about Newton and the subject of Benjamin and his criticism.
Newton just ran by me, by the way. You see me down here?
Yes, I do. I see him in the shorts and the hoodie.
Yep,
okay. And Benjamin and what Benjamin had to say about Newton. I don't think we ever talked about it. Your thoughts on how Sean McDermott handled that situation?
No surprise that Sean McDermott didn't like it. The only surprise that came out to me was that Sean McDermott told the media that in such strong way that he made it known to us that he didn't like it, and he said there's a time and place for that, and that wasn't the time and place, and that he had spoken to Kelvin Benjamin. A lot of times in situations like that, we'll get the standard, well, we've spoken about it, and, you know, it's not necessarily something we want going forward,
right?
Something like that.
Right? I prefer to keep what was
correct
said between us.
There you go. And
right.
We didn't get that. What we got was there's a time and place for it. We did not. That wasn't the time and place. We respect all our opponents, especially with Carolina, you know, coming in here and, you know, given the relationship of that organization and who these people are, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and Kelvin Benjamin, I think that even ramped it up. And even so much so that I think it mattered a little bit that they were playing them in this first preseason game. Now, suddenly you got your number one wide receiver a little bit with a target on his back, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to be careful in that regard. But I like the fact that, you know, Sean McDermott told us that. Kelvin Benjamin was very was interesting talking to him, guys. He basically made it known that he listened to Coach McDermott and he understood, and, you know, that wasn't the right thing to do. But at the same time, he offered no apologies. And when he was asked if he was going to reach out to Cam Newton, he basically said, why? So, I mean, you know, there's no love lost, apparently, from what I could gather through that entire thing.
Did you know that? I mean, it's not our team, but right. I didn't know that.
I didn't either, but remember the article I wrote on Brandon Bean and the Art of a Deal and all the trades that he made. What was interesting about that was, and the quote in there and that I referenced right at the beginning, because I started it off with the Benjamin deal, was Bean told me during that session, he said, I had some intel that things weren't really good there. And now it all makes sense. I thought maybe when he said that, I didn't ask him why weren't things good. I thought it was maybe financial. You know, he was going into the last year of his contract. Maybe, you know, he'd come back from injury. Maybe he thought he was worth more than what they were offering him, or they wouldn't sit down and have a conversation about that.
Right.
Things like that. Maybe he thought Devin Funchess was getting a little bit too much of the number one role when he should have been. I was thinking along those lines. I never would have thought it was anything personality-wise between him and Cam Newton. But now looking back after everything, I think that's what he meant.
Interesting. Something else he said about something else Bean said recently was interesting to me. He was talking about, Bulldog and I talked about this, how, I think Sal too, how the Bills wanted Eric Wood signed last summer.
Right.
Because he would represent stability because they thought they were going to need it or going to have a new quarterback. And so, like, going back a year, we talked a lot about the possibility of that. At first it was Tyrod Taylor will probably not accept the pay cut. Then he did, maybe even surprising them. And the season played out, and they made the playoffs for the first time in 18 years and then traded him anyway. So it was a little bit more proof in one sense, and it was pretty specific, like that they thought
right.
last summer that they were going to be ending up there, and we kind of assumed that. But I guess I looked at it as making the playoffs really didn't mean anything toward that, that that was going to happen anyway, and it did.
Well, guys, you know, I'm never one to toot my own horn. I'm the last person to do that, right? So I'll just tell you, let's go back to the draft of the 2017 draft. I mean, that morning I came out with you guys and said, guys, they're drafting a quarterback next year, right? I mean, that was what it was. It didn't matter. That's why they made that deal. Ever since, and that was before Brandon Bean got here, let's remember.
Right.
When Brandon Bean got here, the plan was in place. They were going to ride out Tyrod Taylor for 1 year, and they were going to move on from Tyrod Taylor in some way, shape, or form, and they were going to draft a quarterback, and that's why they started to collect those assets to be able to move up as high as they possibly could. That plan had been set in motion with or without Tyrod coming back. I just think that the reason they did sign Tyrod was they felt they could live with him at a lower salary and still try to win games, which is what they ultimately wound up doing.
Well, I would not expect the Bills to ever regret how they played it out with Taylor eventually trading him. They could end up regretting the player they picked in Allen. We'll see. I mean, there was obviously tons of speculation about that, some controversy too. How does it look so far?
You know, I think that it's a calculated plan, as Sean McDermott said, so it's going to take some time to figure it out. I think at least the plan looks like it's going accordingly. I don't know if the player is. I think that's what we have to see starting tonight, right? So I'll back up your question, Mike, with another one. We could question the player they took. We could also question not taking Patrick Mahomes. I think that's also, you know, just because Tyrod came back doesn't mean they couldn't have done that. Right. Patrick Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith last year, right? So I think there's a lot of ways that you can massage this to kind of figure out what was the best course of action and what ultimately was or wasn't the best course.
Sal Cabaccio is on the field. We are high atop, no, not that high atop, but mid-level here, in the broadcast booth where Murph and Mark Kelso will bring you tonight's action. Sal will be on the sidelines for the game as well. Bills and Panthers coming up just around 7 o'clock, so a little under 2 hours from now. So, Sal, what about this team outside of the quarterback situation is worth really paying attention to here tonight? Like what positions are maybe the least stable elsewhere on the team?
I would say wide receiver is first and foremost on the list. And I feel bad for a guy like Cam Phillips, who I think's had a really nice camp, especially since the pads came on. Before that, it was Robert Foster, who has been very inconsistent as of late once the pads came on. But I think Cam Phillips had surpassed him once that happened. And now he's hurt. I'm sure he's not going to play tonight after missing several practices. So he's probably a guy that's really kind of hurt by not being out here tonight. Now he's in a battle with guys who's helped by being out here. Brandon Riley, Rod Streeter, Malachi Dupre. Again, Robert Foster, I think, is a guy that's trying to make this roster. Ray McLeod, Austin Prohl. Those guys are all fighting for spots. And look, honestly, I don't know who's going to make it, who's not going to make it. Malachi Dupre has the body I think they like to put on to do matchups. He's 6'2", 195. He's got that bigger body, but I haven't seen him do anything really to stand out necessarily. Ray McLeod, he's a good punt returner. He's good with the ball in his hands, but he doesn't really provide the dynamic playmaking ability from the wide receiver spot they were lacking, which is why they traded for Corey Coleman. I still think Rod Streeter and Brandon Riley are guys they like and probably ultimately make this team. And I think Andre Holmes does as well, simply because of his special teams ability, and he'll be on the field. And from there, I think it's a numbers game on how many they want to keep.
Yeah. Do you have any intel at all? Have you talked to anybody with the new kickoff rules and the way that might impact building your roster? Like, what kind of numbers we're talking about at receiver?
Well, not necessarily at receiver, but I do think that McDermott is, you know, has given indications that you're probably going to want to keep more of those receiver DB types than you are lineman or fullback types. Even tight ends. Maybe you'd keep an extra DB or receiver in lieu of an extra tight end for special teams. There's no more wedge. You know, the tight end, the fullback, those guys are the guys that really set your wedge. Now there isn't. So what I've been doing is at practice, I've been paying attention to how they've been lining up in kickoff. And yeah, there is a noticeable difference. You'll see it tonight, guys. You'll see. Wait, one of the things fans need to do tonight is pay attention to kickoffs. And I know it sounds weird to say that because it seems like a non-play, but don't pay attention to the play. Well, look at the formation that each team lines up in. Now, the Panthers may be different than the Bills, but what I've noticed is, because of the way they have to line up, there's like smaller guys up front, and then you have the guys in the back who are catching it. Now, when I say smaller, I'm not talking about, you know, the littlest guys on the team. What I am saying, though, is you don't see any more of those, like I said, linemen, fullback, tight ends, because there's no wedge. Everybody's kind of within the first 10, 15 yards of where they can line up. And then there's a huge gap, and then you got the return men.
In case anybody missed you earlier on this, what are you expecting with the quarterbacks tonight? Who plays when?
I've been saying all along that A.J. McCarron is, to me, it would be a surprise if he is not the first quarterback in. But at the same time, I know Sean McDermott is very true to his rotation. And if he feels that that's Nathan Peterman or Peterman has earned it, then he will do that. So the only thing I'm pretty confident in is that Josh Allen will be number three. And from there, I think he'll get plenty of snaps, whether that means the entire fourth quarter, the entire second half, something like that. I'm not really totally positive, but I've been saying that I'd be surprised if it's not A.J. McCarron. But at the same time, guys, if Nathan Peterman trots out there with the first team, I'm not going to go, oh, my God, I can't believe it.
All right, Sal. And let's talk injuries here. The injury report, Celino and Barnes injured. Don't wait. Call or text 8. I haven't heard much in the way of injuries around here yet this summer.
Well, Cam Phillips is the one that I just brought up a little while ago. You know, he has missed the last several practices, so I don't expect him to play tonight. Neither will Trent Murphy, I'm sure. He's been dealing with that groin injury. Corey Thompson, a backup linebacker, he missed practice a few days ago, so I don't think he's going to be in the lineup. I don't think he practiced the last 2 days, actually, before this game. And then I think you're looking at Zay Jones, and what his situation is probably a interesting. I can't see him playing in this game necessarily, but he's a guy not injured, I guess, right now, but not quite back to where they want him to be.
Sal, as you mentioned Murphy there, and it being likely that he doesn't play and he's missed some time here. What has that meant, if anything, for Shaq Lawson?
It's been an opportunity for him, no doubt about it. And I think Shaq has taken a nice step in that opportunity. You know, there's still not, though, when you asked Sean McDermott about Shaq Lawson, we did. Because of that, you know, he was asking the press conference, hey, Murphy's been out, Shaq Lawson came in, what do you think? And he's still not telling you, oh, yeah, he's really stepped up. What he is saying, though, he likes that his approach to the game is better. He seems like he does have a good, you know, professionalism, mental approach, those things we talk about, Mike, about, you know, a professional standard. I think they see Shaq kind of doing those things. But I still don't get the feeling that they're really in love with the idea of Shaq Lawson being a mainstay at defensive end for them. They need Trent Murphy on the field, and I wonder what that means for Shaq. But as long as Trent Murphy is hurt, Shaq Lawson should have a spot on this team. I don't think they'd be eager to get rid of him because he's still a football player that can help them.
If he could show the power and dominance that he showed at Clemson, they'd let him just hold eat bonbons between plays or something, right?
Maybe, you're right.
If he could actually perform. All right, Sal, you know what's coming.
I do.
It's time now for our fantasy segment with Sal. And I've carved out the next hour and a half for this, by the way.
We're forgoing the round table.
Yeah, we just decided to make it all fantasy because that's what matters. It's brought to you by Geico. Saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's playbook for over 75 years. So after the game, get a quote at geico.com. Geico, so easy, a caveman can do it. It's not as easy to build a winning fantasy lineup on August 9th. But there are 12 games to pick from.
Do we know if Deshaun Watson is playing for the Texans in this preseason game? Have we heard anything on that? I haven't really looked.
I am pretty sure I saw something yesterday or the day before that indicated he would play.
Same.
Well, I think that's interesting. And guys, think about who he's playing in that game. On the other side is Patrick Mahomes. What a big year for him. He is now the man there. Second year,
right.
Had the sat behind Alex Smith. That's a super interesting game for me for those reasons, really. I think Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes and really, you know, what they could show. So really you're looking at some of those types of things. But, you know, what about guys, the backup roles and the backup players and running backs and wide receivers? I think all over the league you have those. Mike, I know you've been a little bit on that in some of your dynasty leagues. Are we looking at Saquon Barkley? Are they playing tonight? I think this weekend at least you'll see, you know, maybe what the Giants have in store for how they're going to use him in different ways. So
the first two picks of the draft are on the same field tonight with Mayfield and Barkley.
That's really interesting. And obviously you have Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield, that situation in Cleveland, how that's going to play out. How about Jarvis Landry in Cleveland as well? I mean, you know, you got to get some chemistry going here because now with the Antonio Callaway situation hanging over their head without Corey Coleman, you know, he's basically becoming wide receiver number one in Cleveland. So I think that's an interesting dynamic to look at tonight for them as well. Pittsburgh, interesting quarterback situation over there. Are they going to roll with Mason Rudolph as a backup to you know, Ben Roethlisberger? So, you know, we'll see. There were the reports that he wasn't really looking so good in camp. So I think that's another place that I'd look tonight, that he might get quite a few snaps so that they can see what he's all about.
You know, with fantasy football this time of year, not too many people are in leagues that play the preseason games, of course. There's daily, but still. But what the top fantasy players will probably do to some extent is stare at these games looking for hidden gems. And there are a couple of those guys. Green Bay, we've talked about Green Bay a little bit this week, having some lots in play for Green Bay at wide receiver. Jamon Moore is somebody that has been talked about. They've got a few guys for that. Aaron Rodgers ripped them, the wide receiver group, right, the young guys, earlier in the week. Trenton Cannon with the Jets, they play tomorrow night. Guys like that, running backs, wide receivers that you might not have ever heard of before. And then even, like, not the top of the draft or necessarily, but guys who were drafted, Gesicki in Miami, the tight end.
Yep.
So I think, you know, fantasy experts are watching these games closely for new names.
So let's look at this game here tonight. What are we looking at? I think Keith Ford becomes a factor in a daily fantasy league tonight. Probably a guy that you're going to get a bunch of carries in the second half. I think Josh Allen is someone to get snaps here tonight that you want to look at. They'll probably want a handful of throws from him. So that's probably a guy. How about on the other side? Cameron Artis Payne at running back, right, for the Carolina Panthers might be a guy that you're going to look at tonight if you're in a daily league and you want to get a guy that's going to get some touches.
And I heard Kenyon Barner might be a good idea for that, too, with Carolina tonight. Do the Bills have, again, we've kind of gone around it, running back and wide receiver, but do the Bills have an exciting, lesser-known speed guy? Like, would that be Phillips, who's hurt?
No, I think it's Coleman, but, you know, he's known, and he's not playing tonight. I think Ray McLeod's interesting for this. Again, he's not a burner, but he's good with the ball in his hands. He played running back. He was one of the top high school running backs in the country, actually, when he committed to Clemson. Put him at wide receiver. You might maybe get a couple plays where they're trying to put a few wrinkles in and get him the ball in different ways, right? So maybe that's someone that you would look at from the Bills' standpoint.
Sal, do you feel the first score is important tonight?
Probably not.
Thank you, Sal.
You're welcome, guys.
What about setting a tone? That's what I'm getting at here. Didn't really think I needed to spell it out.
Oh, Lord. Wow. You made me cough.
Hey, look, we've done this dance many times. So it's Josh Allen now. Josh Allen is the next hope at the quarterback position for the Bills. Tonight will be, there's curiosity, obviously. Fans will be seeing him in a game for the first time. It's his first game. It doesn't matter how he does. I mean, he probably shouldn't look too good. He's a rookie, and this is the start. So that's not a bad thing necessarily if he doesn't look good. But I'm not trying to protect him or anything. Like, if he looks great, we'll be excited about that. But it's the preseason. It's not going to be their real plays. It's not going to be Carolina's real plays. Teams are careful not to show anything.
Sure. That is, of course, right. So how much of an indication you get, could he run their offense the way they want it run? You're not really going to find a lot out about that tonight. But, you know, with that being said, if he drops back and looks to his left and goes to throw it to an open receiver and sails it over his head by 4 feet, like, we're going to notice that. Because that's the book on him is that there's unsettled feet and that leads to inaccuracy. So, like, is he, you know, is he reasonably close on his throws is something that I think is worth monitoring regardless of what plays are called and regardless of really the level of competition. Can you just play catch in a preseason game? You know, that's to me, that's like the very low end. I started out here 2.5 hours ago saying, like, I want to, at least until I know I can't, have the dream that he might be better than everyone is expecting. And you could see that tonight. And we probably would overreact to it. And it might be a trap. But regardless, like, if he makes a couple of really big throws or runs around a little bit and chucks one, I think people will be talking about that. Like, he is by far the center of attraction for this game, even though he won't be playing until it's dark out.
Yeah, and that's third stringers, you know, on both sides. So I wonder how different it gets to when he gets to play with first teamers. It hasn't happened too much so far, and I would assume that for this game they wouldn't mess with that at all.
I'm not expecting to see him, like I said, until like Sal already said, like maybe right after halftime, maybe even later than that.
You might be able to tell here at the stadium, if you can hear it behind us, that they're practicing the national anthem. Nobody's really standing at attention. I hope that's not a problem. We will have Mark Kelso and Chris Brown along for our roundtable segment, talking about the upcoming season. Looking forward to that. From New Era Field in the Northwest broadcast booth, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Preseason begins tonight for the Buffalo Bills as they host the Carolina Panthers at New Era Field tonight. The Bills have plenty of intriguing position battles outside of quarterback, including at wide receiver. No word yet on if Corey Coleman would be in the lineup tonight, though it is unlikely. Zay Jones also unlikely to play tonight as he is recovering from injury. Same to go for defensive end Trent Murphy. As for quarterback, no decision has been announced on who will play when under center between the trio of A.J. McCarron, Nathan Peterman, and rookie Josh Allen. Don't expect to see much of quarterback Cam Newton for Carolina under center either. Panthers coach Ron Rivera is looking to get about 9 to 10 plays from Newton before sitting him down. More pregame coverage with Schulman Bulldog coming up next, leading up to John Murphy, Mark Kelso, and Sal Capaccio on the call for the 7 p.m. kickoff tonight. Around the NFL, ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting the Patriots have added $5 million in incentives to Tom Brady's contract. Brady is owed $14 million in base salary this year. Vikings starting guard Nick Easton, he suffered a neck injury. His season is likely over in Minnesota. Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. is being kept out of New York's preseason opener against Cleveland. As for the Browns, receiver Antonio Callaway will be in the lineup for Cleveland despite a weekend citation for possession of marijuana. 11 other games on the docket tonight in the NFL. The Browns against the Giants. The Bengals taking on the Bears. The Steelers facing the Eagles. New Orleans taking on Jacksonville. Miami hosting Tampa Bay. Washington visiting New England. The Rams face the Titans. The Rams face the Ravens. The Titans against the Packers. Houston facing Kansas City. The Cowboys taking on the 49ers. The Colts are in Seattle against the Seahawks. To golf, the PGA Championship underway. The first round, Ricky Fowler finishing his first round at 5 under par, which is atop the leaderboard, but now it's being shared with Dustin Johnson. He's 5 under through 13 holes. Tiger Woods, he is even through the first round, while defending champ Justin Thomas shot a 1 under par 69. Time to check the border crossings, brought to you by Fiedler and Carr, your border attorneys. The Peace Bridge has about a 10-minute delay coming into the States. The Lewiston-Queenston Bridge has delays around 15 minutes, while the Rainbow Bridge is seeing no delays. This sports update is brought to you by Fiegel & Carr. Starting October 17th, if you have a DWI, you will be barred from Canada. Contact Fiegel & Carr, your border attorneys. I'm Derek Kramer for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network for a look at traffic. Here is Alan Harris.
Still dealing with a good deal of heavy congestion right now throughout the area on our expressways. The 190 South has been jammed all the way from Sheridan heading on down towards the Skyway. Skyway is busy down towards Ridge Road at this point. Coming down the thruway, it's jammed from before the 290 all the way down to the 190 and then down to the 219. Around the stadium right now, we got a lot of volume coming off of the 219 getting over to the stadium. Not all that bad. It's sort of moderate traffic at this point. Around the Hamburg exit on the thruway, exit 56. That's busy as people jump off to head up towards the stadium. At last check, all lots are open at the stadium. No problems to report there at the moment. This report brought to you by Karuba Collision. Make the right decision. Insist on Karuba Collision. I'm Alan Harris on the Buffalo Bills Football Network.
Alan, thank you, everyone. Time for the roundtable here on our pregame coverage, the preseason opener, Bills-Panthers. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with you. Also here from the Northwest broadcast booth, Chris Brown of BuffaloBills.com and our color analyst, Mark Kelso. The roundtable brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. They have the training. All they need is you. All right, everybody's in position. We feel like now we pretty much know the ages of the players. It's almost time for the game, the Bills and the Panthers. Chris, how do you feel about the season as we get closer?
I think we've got a situation here that's demanding more clarity, obviously, and I don't think it's going to be provided anytime soon, at least this game, and probably not before the next game, unless somebody lights the world on fire tonight. And I don't know that we should anticipate that, especially with the first year of a new offense for everyone involved. But Coach gave me an interesting answer last week prior to the Friday night practice here. I wasn't asking about quarterbacks. I asked him about a lot of the linebacker rotation that we had seen over the last couple of days, all the way from the ones down to the threes and back up. Guys were just getting mixed in here, there, and everywhere. And there's some degree of that in every training camp, but it just seemed extreme. And so I was asking him, you know, what's your overarching philosophy on that? How much experimentation is enough? How much is too much? When do you want to whittle that down and get down to brass tacks to have your unit ready? So he gave me a nice long answer, and then I followed up with, when does the experimentation end? When do you really want to kind of hone in on who your guys are going to be? And he basically said sometime between the second and third preseason game. Now, does that mean he wants to do the same thing at quarterback? I think if he's got a definitive separation, yes. But that's going to be on the players to do that in these first two games. So he's really at the mercy of what these guys do on the field when the real bullets are flying. And that's really, you know, the crux of what we're all concerned with here. I mean, let's be honest. Do we really care if the backup punter is going to get a practice squad spot or, you know, something like that? No, nobody cares about that.
But I am rooting for him.
Except for Corey Carter's family. So
he's from Texas Southern. We want him to get an opportunity.
Well done. Mark's done his homework. Texas Southern for the backup punter. It's
thank you.
Firmly established. There we go.
And with that, Mark Kelso announces his arrival for the 2018 preseason. Mark, what do you think? The drought ends. A cloud seemingly lifts over the fan base, maybe over the franchise. And now uncertainty at the game's most important position as we start another year.
Yeah, and I think you're in a data-gathering stage. I mean, you need to see how these all three quarterbacks, quite frankly, are going to react to competition against a different opponent other than the guys they see in the building every single day. And when the rush is live, although I don't suspect there'll be additional pressures that are applied by the Panther defense here this evening. But they certainly have a front four that can collapse a pocket and create some quick decision-making opportunities for the opposing quarterback. So it will be interesting to see how they perform. And I think things will begin to unfold. And guys, I would think that, as Bronny said, they begin to differentiate themselves here as the preseason is underway and again, begins to unfold.
I think we have our Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin. Is that Benjamin at midfield next to Newton, or is it not?
At the 45.
Is that him?
Yep.
Yeah, they're both talking.
Kind of want to watch that.
Nobody's throwing haymakers.
Right. They are. They're taking steps and then turning and talking and then taking a few more steps and turning and talking. And I did not see when they first approached one another whether there was a hug and a handshake. But now I've got Benjamin walking away, sort of shrugging, and now he's gesturing, and Newton's walking away, and that didn't look...
I feel like maybe that was contentious.
I don't think that was cordial.
That didn't look real warm. But
wasn't cordial.
It's summer, so we were talking one day earlier this week what that might look like, and I expected handshake, pull into chest,
slight
bro hug, and like whispers in ears, and that was the opposite of that, pretty much.
No, it was interesting that they talked. Like,
yeah.
Maybe that would have been...
I don't feel Newton. Like anything was resolved.
No.
Maybe that would have been Newton like, what's the deal? And Benjamin told him, and then they argued a little bit, and Newton gave him a wave and walked away.
Right.
That's what I think we have.
That's kind of what that looked
Mark,
like.
Mark, how often did that happen to you in your career?
There's a lot of conjecture going on there, man, right there.
Did you have a player in the league that you really disliked? You seem like such a nice guy.
I did not. Nope.
That never happened?
That's probably the last person you would ask that question.
Well, he's here.
I know, he's
it
here.
It never happened.
We didn't have a choice, but he'd be very low on that list.
Well, there were some conferences that we attended in the offseason with a lot of players from around the league as well in certain situations. And so you got to know a lot of guys on different clubs, and you had some friendships around the league as well. So, no, we really
How about Brian Cox?
Didn't have that issue. Other than his middle finger, I didn't have an issue with him either.
Yeah. Teammates, though, Thurman. He hated Thurman.
No. For the record, I love Thurman. Thurman, I love you.
Let there be no doubt. Brian Cox Jr. is on
Correct.
This Carolina
right.
team.
That's right.
I don't know the college.
I don't know all the Carolina players' colleges. I'll just... No,
Florida.
It's not UNC. Yeah, he was in Florida. I think he lived in Florida, so he was a Florida kid, yeah.
Florida.
But a lot of UNC players on this roster as well,
including
Carolina.
Including Julius Peppers, who is in his 17th year, 2002 draft. If you're old enough to remember, our producer may not be, that's when the Bills pick Mike Williams fourth, two picks after Carolina picks Julius Peppers. He's been to other teams, but he is back with Carolina. And in his 17th year in the league.
And Williams was what? He was from Texas, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Mike Williams, yeah.
Yeah, you're back.
Yes. Well, he's on the college train again.
I'm okay with Bills guys.
Bills
don't start asking me all the Carolina guys unless you
I'll stop
start talking about Bug Howard because I know he's from UNC.
We will not do any more of that. Everyone, grilling or having a summer party, Then taste the difference Fresh makes at Federal Meats. Make your party sizzle with whole strip loins for $8.99 per pound and Federal's freshly made grill-ready kebabs, beef, or chicken with veggies. You can also save $3 off a bag of Salins hot dogs and $2 off 31 to 40 count extra large shrimp. Game day and every day, Federal makes it special. Taste the difference Fresh makes at Federal Meats.
Guys, we got a break?
We do.
Okay, then this can wait.
What's coming up?
Well, I want to talk about, you know, ideally you'd know who your number one quarterback is when the preseason begins, but obviously that's not the situation. So I'm going to want to know from these two guys when they think the soonest we may know and what's ideal. Like when will it start to be a problem if they haven't figured out who their quarterback is?
I will help you remember to ask.
Good.
Mike Schopen and the Bulldog with Mark Kelso and Chris Brown. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Still heavy congestion. Got a backup behind the Williamsville tolls going all the way back to about Transit Road right now, and then the thruway itself westbound from that point all the way down to the 190, then down towards the 400. A little bit better between the 400 and the 219 at the moment, but still quite busy if you're heading on that 219 down to Miles Strip. Got a lot of traffic on Route 5 coming on down, starting around Ohio Street down to Ridge Road at the moment. Heavy traffic coming up the thruway, getting off at Hamburg at this point. Quite busy around the stadium, but at the last check, all lots were open. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. I'm Alan Harris on the Buffalo Bills Football Network.
New Era Field, the preseason opener tonight. Bills and Panthers. It's clouded up some, but temperatures in the low to mid-70s. A pleasant evening on tap, it would seem. Bills and Panthers, game one of the preseason, one of 12 games in the league tonight. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Mark Kelso and Chris Brown as we continue our roundtable discussion, part two of three, gets underway now. And Bulldog, if you were with us a few minutes ago, you'll remember, has a question for them, for Mark and Chris.
When does it become a problem that they don't know who their quarterback is? Like, how soon does McDermott want to make a choice here?
I think he would have liked to make it yesterday. But, I mean, with the way this is going, I think he's hoping that some separation happens here soon, because I think in this situation, ideally, he wants to be going into the third preseason game, the so-called dress rehearsal that we're all familiar with a starter in place. Is there going to be enough separation over these first two games to give him that definitive answer? We don't know. The proof's going to be in the pudding out here on the field, but I think that's when. I mean, you'd like that to be the drop-dead date. Will it be? I mean, it's predicated on what's going on out here, but that's why I asked him all the way back in the spring, and I asked Brian Daboll the same question. I said, how are you balancing a quarterback evaluation with getting an offense ready to play in a new scheme? Because that's tough. I mean, if it was like a third-year, fourth-year scheme, all the guys had been in it, now let's just figure out the quarterback, that's one thing. You're trying to do both at the same time. I mean, that's a tricky one. You better have the long pole out there on the high wire for some balance there, because that's not an easy one to navigate. So I really think they'd rather have it sooner rather than later. We get past that third preseason game, you know, now you're getting a little too close to the regular season, where you kind of want all your ducks in a row, where you feel you're at least all on the same page, you're all ready, you know, you're going to start game planning for week one. You got to get them ready.
Right. So as far as you can tell through the first couple of weeks of training camp, there's been no separation?
I don't think anybody's stamped themselves as the clear front runner in this race. I think A.J. McCarron may have had a few more better practices than Nathan Peterman. Josh has had a day here or there where his accuracy looks good on this day. Another day his decision-making looks good on this day, but he hasn't put it all together. I still think he's behind the other two, and the reps are an indication of that. But I don't think McCarron has been far and away like, oh, he's out in front, here we go. I think he's a little bit ahead, but I think at this point in the game, if I had to bet, I would bet Coach McDermott was hoping there'd be more separation by now.
Mark, what have you seen in Allen?
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of practices, but certainly he has a big arm. And I was here last Friday night at the practice and saw him make a really nice blitz read off the nickel cornerback, blitzed off the edge to his left, and he threw the quick slant on the outside, which was the right read, and completed the ball, threw a nice ball across the middle. I think it was Jeremy Curley who caught that football, and and a little demonstration of his arm, but certainly his accuracy, and things aren't quite live from a defensive line perspective either. So when things will speed up a lot tonight for sure, and particularly when Josh Allen is in there, because he'll be playing against a lot of young players on the Panther defensive unit, and those guys are going to be flying around, and it'll be interesting to see how he handles that speed. But yeah, a lot of uncertainty right now. I say the drop dead date for me is August 18th, because it's after that second preseason game, and now you're going into that entire week before preseason game number 3, which is on a Sunday, so you have extended period of time, and there's a lot of considerations here, because you've got to find somebody again that's comfortable with the offensive package that they're installing. And the one thing that the Daboll mentors like to do is make opposing defenses think. And I suspect he will take that same strategy as an offensive coordinator. We're going to make these defenses think, and we're going to make them defend things that they may not have seen before. And that puts quite a burden on the quarterback position particularly. And now you have a center that they have never worked with before. And what are those calls going to look like as well? And the thing that would concern me about Josh Allen taking a start, even with the arm talent that he has, is that right now you don't have any continuity on the offensive line. You're going to put a group of 5 gentlemen out there, players who have never played a snap together in a regular season game. It's going to take a while for them to develop that synergy to adequately protect the quarterback and create opportunities in the running game. So there's a little concern there. But I would think, if you're asking for a date for me, I'd say August 18th, right after that second preseason game.
Have you had any trouble buying into him?
Buying into Allen? Again, I have very little data to go on. I've only seen him a little bit. Things I've been able to read, and I read, you know, I listen when I'm down in Charlotte. I'm listening to you guys occasionally, and I'm listening, I'm reading blogs and different things that people are reporting about Josh Allen. But the things that I think they thought they were drafting in Josh Allen have been authentic and true. He's got a good work ethic. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He seems to be able to grasp an offensive playbook pretty quickly. He's got a big arm, and he's got some accuracy issues that he needs to become much more precise with. And I haven't seen him throw a middle dig route, which I think is a telltale sign for a young quarterback when they reach the maturity level that they're ready to really play in this league. When he can drop it over tonight, arguably the best linebacking core in football, can you drop it over Luke Kuechly and drop it in front of the safety at about 17 yards either side of the hash? You can do that, then you're ready to play in this league, and that's something that he's going to need much more experience to be able to perfect that situation. But as far as I understand, everything is advertised. It's obvious that they formed a template on players that like to draft, players that had leadership roles at the collegiate level, players that were captains and were applauded for their character issues in their college program, and some athletes that were multi-sport athletes, particularly in high school, maybe a wrestler if it's an interior lineman, because they understand leverage control. So he seems to fit the template of guys that they believe can be successful and that they'd like to be part of this organization.
Chris, how about the offense overall? You mentioned the dueling things that are happening here. You've got trying to figure out who your quarterback is, and you also have a whole new offense that everyone is learning. I've heard you from time to time on One Bills Live with Murph and Steve, and I feel like it's possible that this offense is really complex.
Well, it is, and what I've heard from several of the offensive players is that Daboll is apt to change something, tweak something at the drop of a hat. I'm talking to Rod Streeter last week. I'm walking off the field with him, and I said, how are you getting a handle on things? He goes, pretty good. I said, I'm hearing Coach Daboll is, you know, not afraid to tweak stuff. He goes, oh, we're not off the practice field 2 minutes, and he's already talking about changing something because he felt it was too predictable for the defense. So it sounds as though Daboll is, you know, always thinking about how to be unpredictable to a defense, which is admirable, believe me. Anybody that watches football, the last thing you want your team's offense to be is predictable. But I think, again, we've got to get back to a balance of how much is too much.
Right.
You know, because you've got, I mean, there's a healthy amount of youth on this offense. You did. I mean, yes, John Miller's been a starter. Yes, Vlad Dukas has been a starter, but you got two guys in different roles there. You're going to have a new center making line calls. You got young receivers behind Benjamin and Curley. There's a lot of moving parts here. And while everything that you want to draw up on paper is great, and believe me, I don't have any problem with Dable. I like him a lot. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of what he's brought to this offense is great. It's innovative, and that was not Rick Dennison at all, whose offense was stale, antiquated, and ineffective, as we all saw. So I like a lot of the things that he's doing. There's just a part of me, a little part of me, that worries a little bit that wanting to stay ahead of the opponent, could it do more harm than good, depending on the teams that you're playing week to week?
More with Chris Brown, Mark Kelso, and us, Mike Shope and the Bulldog, as we continue on the roundtable, which is brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. They have the training. All they need is you. Bills and Panthers preseason game number one in just over an hour. We'll be right back with more discussion about the Bills and the upcoming season. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Are you ready for some football Buffalo Bills style?
Shady's going to score! Shady's going to score! Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime! Walk up top at the 33-yard line. The Bills recover. Buffalo recovers. Set! Brought down by Kyle Williams back at the 15-yard line.
Bring it. This is the pregame show. Buffalo Bills football on the Buffalo Bills radio network is brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
Less than an hour until kickoff. We're getting you ready. Bills and Panthers here from New Era Field in Orchard Park. Mike Shope and the Bulldog with Chris Brown and Mark Kelso. Mark and John Murphy, as always, we'll have the play-by-play tonight for this game. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. Today's preseason game also presented by Medai College, whose students are M-powered. The roundtable brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. They have the training. All they need is you. We've had about halfway through it. Had some good conversation, I thought. Some terminology. Mark mentioned dig routes. I watched Mark play this morning. No, wait, I may have to rephrase that. I watched a Bills game Mark played in this morning. It wasn't like I was out watching him.
That
what do people think there? Like, did you have a pickup game or something?
Right.
You're in that game with Favre and Rice, and the other team like threatens to. No, it's not like that. I watched the no punt game today.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
You ever do that?
No, I never go back and watch whole games.
Like, that was a famous game for how much offense there was, but I still liked you.
But the score was still reasonable. It was in the 30s.
34-31. Right? Like
yeah, so it wasn't – I mean, there were a couple turnovers,
right,
as I recall, and I think they turned it over. We created a couple, and I think, conversely, the 49ers created a couple as well. But correct, there were zero punts in that game.
You can go to YouTube and watch. It's pretty good quality. YouTube, yeah. A couple of years ago, there was an official deal with the NFL, and at least a couple of each team's most famous games are on there, and it doesn't look too grainy or anything like that.
Nice.
Taylor got – behind the Bills for a long touchdown, and you almost got there, and you punched the ball out.
And it was out of the 2-yard line. Guaranteed.
Oh, now you got it going. Now you've done it, Mike.
Guaranteed. Here's what happened.
In this era, we would be watching that play over and over.
And I was playing on the left side, so we were playing cover two. He got free on the other side of the field, and I came across, and I punched it out. But here's what happened. And I understand the official, because the official was trailing the play. So I punched it out, and the ball stayed right in line with his body. So the official never knew the ball was out until he crossed the goal line, and then he said it came out when he crossed the goal line, and no chance. We watched it on film the next day. It was out of the 2-yard line. Mm-hmm. See, we should have won the game much sooner than
we
did.
Well, there are – I mean, it's just – it's striking if you're thinking about it. There are so many little calls in – like, this is from 1992. That's one of, I don't know, five or six – plays like this in the game, where if you're watching football now and you're used to watching it now, your reaction is, oh, we're going to get all kinds of replays of this.
Right.
We might have a challenge flag.
It's going to be a while before we know what really happened.
Right. Yeah. You know what else is like that too? The clock. Like the end of games, there's really, the way that game ended was kneel downs, but it was really very casual. Like the 49ers, like, it's just sort of, now it would have been scrutinized. And so it was different. It was different even. Like, to me, the 90s, it's not that long ago.
Right.
And it was still different in right. some obvious different. Ways.
And for the record, I would not have wanted to have replay there to overturn that call because I don't like instant replay. It slows down the game.
Yes.
And, oh, I want to come down there and hug you.
It's human error.
And get rid of it.
Officials are going to – if you want to add another official, fine. But, like in the end zone so that any plays like that, they might be able to see those plays. But there's human error. Players make errors and officials are going to make errors. And well, let's just let the human error occur and – unfortunately, very, very rarely, seldomly, will that determine the actual outcome of the football game.
Correct.
With that in mind, what are your thoughts on the new rules, specifically the targeting rule, the helmet rule? We've seen one preseason game so far, and there were a couple examples that I think most people watching would have said, okay, well, that's why the rule's there, good job, and then a couple that were like, okay, why don't you just take safeties out of the game because they can't play anymore?
For the helmet rule, if you are an ardent football fan that watches five or six games a Sunday, you better mentally prepare yourself for bad calls because they're going to happen. I don't know if you have – if there's a rule. I don't know if there's a new rule that has been added to the league's list of rules in the last 15 years that is going to cause – more poor calls than this one. There will be bad calls every week with this helmet rule because it's a judgment call. And we've seen how officials in this league have performed with judgment calls, everything from pass interference to this. You better mentally prepare yourself for bad calls so you don't throw something through your flat screen.
I agree. I think it's going to be terrible.
It's going to happen, and I'm telling you right now, Week four, it's not going to surprise me at all if we've got a league memo and something's going on or something's tweaked or something's changed because it has the potential to be that bad. I'm not optimistic about how this is going to go.
I don't disagree with that sentiment. However, 100% unequivocally, whatever word you want to use, it is good for the game and it is necessary for this game to continue to thrive. If we do not fix this problem, the game is going to depreciate. There is no question in my mind because young kids are going to stop playing the game. They're already stopping to play in certain respects. I think USA Football has done a terrific job with some of their initiatives in conjunction with the NFL, and they're talking all about this, the hawk tackling technique. They've used all kind of different terminologies. It seemed like they've settled on some of that. And I get that certification every year, just like hundreds of thousands of coaches across America coaching youth football. You have to get guys to take the helmet out of the game when you're making a tackle or when a player is intending to be tackled and is going to drop his head. It has to happen. It can happen. You can build the muscle memory to make sure that it happens in a game, in a live situation, not 100% of the time. But generally, you can. I think the Seahawks have demonstrated that you can use your shoulder extremely effectively, and you can effectively help remove your head from the game. And that being said, there will be a lot of consternation this year, no question, as they begin to initiate the rule and as players develop the muscle memory to try to conduct themselves in a manner that doesn't allow them to violate the rule.
It's going to be a hard fix because the game's so fast. The game's so fast. And what are guys – we've talked about this on Murph Show. You know, what are guys taught, you know, in a leverage battle? Low man wins. So you're going to drop your pads. Well, you drop your pads, your head's got to come with you. I mean, it's not Rock'em Sock'em Robots where the head's way up here and you can drop your, you know what I mean? It's just, it's just the way the body's built. It's just, I understand heads up tackling and all that.
No. Yeah, but that's not heads up now anymore. It's all about, I mean, you want to see what you hit. But it's all about, it's like a baseball player. Don't give the pitcher, don't swing at a ball that's not a strike. Don't give him extra strikes, right? You're not going to swing at a ball that's outside the strike zone. You have the front of your shoulders, not the front, not the top, the front of your shoulder, and you have from the near breastplate to the near thigh. Now, that's different from the way we were taught because we were taught to come across the player. Now they're telling you to strike the player in the near hip or the near thigh, which keeps your head on the backside of the play, and when you roll that player over and make a tackle, your head is never engaged because he rolls over your shoulder. It will take time to develop muscle memory from these players like myself who were taught a different philosophy and a different method, but they will develop it if they practice it every single day. It'll take three quarters of a season, and by next year, they can change the way tackles are made in this league. I believe they can.
Mark Kelso, Chris Brown, Mike Shope and the Bulldog. It's our roundtable here on the pregame show. Bills and Panthers coming up at 7. More of the players naturally making their way on. Saw North Turner coming out, offensive coordinator now for Carolina, on what for us is the near sideline, the Bills sideline, and then bust it across as if he just realized, maybe he realized he was on the wrong side. I don't know. Maybe that's also a thing he does.
Yeah.
Taller than I thought. North Turner, one of the many great sights here at New Era Field. Be listening for the ECMC halftime show, by the way, with Nate Geary. ECMC, go where the Bills go. Nate and Sal will recap the key moments of the first half and bring you up to date on the ExpressMart stats of the game. ExpressMart, not your average convenience store. Guys, LeSean McCoy, we get asked by some of our national guests, so what is going to happen there? It happened yesterday. And I don't know, but I have assumed since he has been in training camp and that there's been nothing new about his situation at home that he's going to be here for this team. Is that not a reasonable assumption? Like, is it still up in the air as you look at it?
We haven't been given any indication otherwise. So, I mean, I thought the way Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott addressed it at the outset of training camp, I don't know how you guys felt, but I got no indication from them that they were overly concerned that they would not have him for stretches of the regular season. Based on whatever due diligence they and or the league did, they spoke to the league, which really is the main governing arm that you're most concerned with. Yes, you're concerned with the, you know, the letter of the law, obviously, and law enforcement, but right after that, it's the league who's mm-hmm. going to determine your player's availability on Sunday.
Right.
And it seemed pretty clear to me they were comfortable with where things were left with the league. So, you know, I've got to believe that based on what their findings have provided them, they're not overly worried that McCoy is going to miss time this year. Now, we all know that can turn on a dime because, you know, maybe something's uncovered evidence-wise that wasn't anticipated and we all are taken by surprise. That could certainly happen. But judging by their actions, their comments, they don't seem overly worried that they're going to lose McCoy for stretches of this season.
They had Brandon Oliver here right as that story broke for a
workout. Yeah.
But nothing else has happened along those lines, right? I mean, they have the same number of guys
yeah.
at the position on the roster and so on.
Right, and, you know, this time of year it's hard to find anybody of any great ilk that's going to change your roster. So, you know, I don't know what you're doing, you know, to really make it different. I think this time of year it's very hard to find somebody that you think is going to really kind of change the face of your running back core if you lose your feature back. You're playing catch up, and I don't know that you're measuring up anyway.
Yeah. So this is this will be a fourth season with McCoy here in Buffalo and a fourth season where he will be the centerpiece of the offense again.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
he has to be.
Calvin Benjamin's here. He wasn't here at the outset of last year, but still.
And I will say one thing that hasn't been getting any publicity at all on the offensive side of the ball is the progress that the run game has made through the course of training camp. You know, the passing game has been a series of fits and starts, due in part to the rotation, number one, and due in part to the fact that this pass defense is going to be ridiculous this year. Those two factors have really hampered the progress of the passing game for the Bills offense.
That'd be good ridiculous?
But yes, but the run game, I think has shown a measure of consistency between week one and week two of training camp where the holes are consistent, they're getting big gains out of it, and it's not just McCoy running the football in some of those decisions that are being made by the backs. I mean, we've seen guys break through to the second level or get a big hole where they can get to the secondary quickly. There are some encouraging signs from the run game, and all the players I've talked to on offense have noticed it too based on their review of practice tape. So I think Daboll's put in some really good run game schemes that I think will help this team at least stay in manageable down and distance, even if their passing game isn't lighting things up in the early going this season.
So you think the pass defense should be great. We'll see if the offense, the pass offense mirrors that.
I think it's going to be a work in progress.
How about the secondary, Mark? Your area of expertise, one of many. The safeties last year were a big story, a big part of the Bills' success. Maybe even the biggest, right? The takeaways and the season they had.
Well, and you really had no clarity with that nickel cornerback spot. So what did you do? Phillip Gaines left, right? I think he went to Cleveland.
EJ Gaines.
Or EJ Gaines. Left. Yeah, Phillip is here. Fifth-year player out of Rice, by the way. So, EJ left, correct. And who did you bring in to replace him? Vontae Davis, former first-round pick, a guy who can play at an extremely high level. And I know he's 10 years. This is his 10th year in the league. But he can play at an extremely high level without question. So, in that area, it seems like you've upgraded. And now, just based on what I hear from Brownie and from everybody that's out at practice on a daily basis, Teron Johnson looks like he's making a lot of heads turn with his play in the nickel cornerback spot. So you might have an opportunity there as well. And if he can secure that job, and a guy that I think can play some man defense, he was a conference player of the year in his conference at Weber State, right? So it'll be interesting to see. And now you add Trent Murphy that can create some real opportunities on the other side for Jerry Hughes. So I think this pass defense has an opportunity to be better than it was last year, particularly because they'll have a little bit more pressure, and then they can play more man defense than they were able to play last year.
Two other significant additions to that defense: Star Latulale in the middle, the defensive line, and then at middle linebacker, the other first-round pick, Tremaine Edmonds.
And Star is going to collapse the pocket, and heard Coach McDermott kind of laud his praises about his work ethic and the opportunity and the ability that he has to collapse the pocket. And then you still have Kyle, and then you draft Phillips, and Phillips has an opportunity as well to have some significant playing time. You've got some good young players in Adolphus Washington as well, and those guys should be able to collapse the pocket. And Tremaine Edmonds, I mean, he's a rookie, so he's going to need some experience, no question, but everything that I hear about him and his performance in training camp has lived up to the billing of his first-round draft selection. A great young man from a great family, a guy who has a great work ethic. And as Coach McDermott is fond of saying, he's one of those guys that likes to drain the knowledge from the older players and make sure he's getting everything out of them. And Ramon Umber and Lorenzo Alexander are guys that can give him an awful lot of knowledge.
Was that a William and Mary expression?
I don't know. I think we used to use that too. I mean, you really want to kind of soak up that knowledge that those older players have, because those players develop, I mean, just the mental capacity for the game and the angles that they develop. Sometimes your skills depreciate, but the knowledge you gain on how to play the game can make you an even better player than when you were younger.
Chris, we have the starting quarterback.
It's Nathan Peterman, yeah. I don't think I'm overly surprised by it. If we remember going back to the first day of training camp, he was the guy that got first-team reps with the ones on day one. I wouldn't be surprised if Coach McDermott's trying to follow suit here. We'll see how long he goes. Maybe he's the only one that gets reps with the ones tonight. And maybe he flips it for the next game. And then after that, perhaps a decision's made based on how they play. I would expect Josh Allen to get pretty much the second half of work tonight. We know starting caliber players usually don't play very much here in the first preseason game. So I think Josh Allen and the threes will have a lot of time on the field tonight, probably in the second half.
All right, Nathan Peterman starts. We'll get you in actives in a moment. First, Bills by the numbers. Brought to you by AXA Advisors. Take the next step for your financial future today. Zero number of years since a playoff game. In fact, number of games, including preseason games, since the Bills playoff game in Jacksonville.
Feels good.
The drought ended. A touchdown would have been nice. The drought ended. It was 10-3. And so
you can't have everything.
The expectations for this team, objectively, like league-wide, the betting line and so on, are almost like last year did not happen. I don't think that's mostly Tyrod Taylor. It's probably the turnover margin. But here's to good things this year, starting with tonight. The inactives, Zay Jones, Cam Phillips is hurt.
Right. I don't believe Trent Murphy's playing either, still with the groin injury.
Corey Coleman
is not ready to play. He just got here.
Linebacker Corey Thompson.
Right.
And Zay Jones also.
Zay Jones.
Not going to play.
Yeah. Right. The inactives. Yeah. Bulldog brought to you by Revive Spine Center. Getting you back.
Oh,
to
I
you.
Got it. I get
you.
It.
To you. For every field goal scored by Buffalo this football season, Liberty Cab will make a donation to the Family Justice Center. Since 2006, the Family Justice Center has been providing a safe place for the victims and children of domestic violence, holding offenders accountable with the goal of giving victims options to take back control of their lives. Visit fjcsafe.org and share our goal to protect our community from domestic violence. Liberty Cab, passionate and about protecting our community. Guys, thank you. It's great to be with you.
Thank you.
Good to be back.
We will talk again next Friday. You'll be in
Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
They're interesting.
Oh, you can say that, yeah.
Very.
You can say that.
I don't think it's going out on a limb when the pundits say that they think they'll be the most improved team of the 2018 season.
Well, they might have said it last year. I was one of them.
I read that somewhere.
You can go up a lot from one or zero.
They went from one to zero.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Failing to improve.
Talk to you next Friday.
All right, let's check traffic now with Alan.
Still got this heavy traffic on the main line of the thruway from before the Williamsville tolls all the way down to the 400 area. Still heavy traffic right now coming down the 190 south, but it's a lot better than it was earlier. Heaviest traffic is downtown. Right now, Route 5 from the Outer Harbor all the way down past Ridge Road towards Mile Strip. That's still very slow at this hour as you're heading around the stadium. We got slow traffic on most of those routes under speed at this point, but so far we haven't heard about any major problems in the parking lots. This report brought to you by Karuba Collision. Make the right decision. Insist on Karuba Collision. I'm Alan Harris on the Buffalo Bills Football Network.
All right, Alan, thank you very much for that traffic update. That is going to be a wrap from here in the broadcast booth with the pregame show. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.